Hear this reading from Deuteronomy 15, verses 1 through 11 from the NRSV.
Hear this reading from Deuteronomy 15, 1 through 11 from the Message.
Every seventh year you shall grant a remission of debt, and this is the manner of the remission. Every creditor shall remit the claim that is held against a neighbor, not exacting it of a neighbor who is a member of the community, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. Of a foreigner, you may exact it, but you must remit your claim on whatever any member of your community owes you.
At the end of every seventh year, cancel all debts. This is the procedure. Everyone who has lent money to a neighbor writes it off. You must not press your neighbor or his brother for payment. All debts are canceled. God says so. You may collect payments from foreigners, but whatever you have lent to your fellow Israelite, you must write off.
There will, however, be no one in need among you, because the Lord is sure to bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you as a possession to occupy. If only you will obey the Lord your God by diligently observing this entire commandment that I command you today.
There must be no poor people among you, because God is going to bless you lavishly in this land that God, your God, is giving you as an inheritance, your very own land. But only if you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, diligently observing every commandment that I command you today.
When the Lord your God has blessed you as he promised you, you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. You will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you.
Oh yes, God, your God, will bless you just as he promised. You will lend to many nations, but won't borrow from any. You'll rule over many nations, but none will rule over you.
If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be.
When you happen on someone who's in trouble or needs help among your people, with whom you live in this land that God, your God, is giving you, don't look the other way, pretending you don't see him. Don't keep a tight grip on your purse. No, look at him. Open your purse, lend whatever and as much as he needs. Don't count the cost.
Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt.
Don't listen to that selfish voice saying, "It's almost the seventh year, the year of all debts are canceled," and turn aside and leave your needy neighbor in the lurch, refusing to help him. He'll call attention to God, to you, and your blatant sin.
Give liberally and ungrudgingly when you do so, for on this account the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be some in need on earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land.
Give freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God, your God's blessing, in everything you do, all your work and ventures. There are always going to be poor and needy people among you. So I command you, always be generous, open purse and hands. Give to your neighbors in trouble, your poor and hurting neighbors.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. In the Jewish tradition, every seventh year is known as the Shemitah year. In Hebrew, the word Shemitah literally means release. It's a Sabbath year. It started in biblical times, 7 years after the Israelites settled in the promised land, in the Holy Land, after their exodus from Egypt. It was God's command in Exodus 23 that every seventh year should be considered this Sabbath year. And it wasn't just a Sabbath for the people. It was also a Sabbath for the land, for creation. The people were to let the fields rest. They were to forgive debts from within the community and use the community resources that were already gathered to make sure that everyone had enough. As one rabbi puts it, the Shemitah year is a time to focus more on why we are needed and less on what we need. It's a time to focus more on faith and less on faith in our own talents and wiles. And this was for the whole community. The focus on the whole community participating in this is important. A community effort to focus more on why we are needed and less on what we need. I get a little embarrassed sometimes when I realize how much I spend on certain things. This past year has been a year for me of climbing out of debt because I realize how much I spend on other things. And so I wanted to focus this year on paying off all of my credit cards and all of my student loans. My sister and I had a race to see who could pay off their student loans faster. My brother won. But my credit cards are paid off and all of my student loans. So in a way, I won too, and so did my sister. It's a huge relief to have those bills off of my back, but still, I get a little embarrassed when I realize how much I still spend on other things, like books, for example. I sat down and did the math this week and found out how much I spent on books last year, just books on one website. So this year, I decided I was going to try and use the library more. The Emmaus Library is great. They put a little note at the bottom of your receipt to tell you how much you have saved by borrowing the book as opposed to buying it. I had a second realization when I did the math about how much I spent on books last year. My second realization was that of the 45 books that I bought on Amazon, I've read only 28 of the books I had to have. And I'll admit it, I have a bit of a book addiction. I am a book snob. I love books. One of the most dangerous things you can do is leave me unsupervised in a used bookstore, second only to leaving me unsupervised in a quilt store. But don't a lot of us do this, live in this mentality that if we want something, go out and get it? We live in this mentality of more, more, more. It's so easy to get caught in the mindset that at the end, whoever has the most toys wins. When it comes to spending, a lot of people either live in the mindset of feast or famine because of circumstances. And when we're in a feast season, it's hard to tighten our belts if we don't have to. In the Buddhist tradition, they describe the pathway to happiness as being often blocked by the pursuit of more. And like the king in the story that I shared during the children's message, we often find that as we acquire things, it actually has the opposite effect on us, not making us happier and happier, but in fact, making us less happy. It leaves us with this feeling like something is still missing. It's a challenge to balance the need for inner peace and quiet while acknowledging that the outside world is still growth-oriented. It makes you wonder what would happen if we just said enough. The Shemitah year, the Shemitah year that we read about in Deuteronomy is about enough. It's about living into this mindset of enough, and it's a radical side of enough. Because it's not just about an individual deciding to shop local or to borrow versus buy. It's about a whole community saying we have enough as a community. It is a whole community putting their trust in God and holding each other accountable. And we're accountable to take this Sabbath for this, from this more growth mentality. And there are layers in this Shemitah year that even in our 21st century culture seem incredibly radical to our ears. Cancel all debts? Can you imagine? But canceling debts is just one part of it. The second part of it is making sure that everyone has enough. There must be no poor people among you, our reading says today. The Shemitah year is a whole year to make sure that everyone has what they need, that no one goes to bed hungry, that no one wonders where they're going to sleep tonight, that no one wonders how they're going to pay for the medical care they need, that no one worries that the electric company is going to turn off their lights. It's a whole year of saying, if you don't eat, I don't eat. And not just for people. The Shemitah year is about the land, too, giving the land a break. Today in the Jewish culture, there is a huge focus during the Shemitah year on environmental justice, recognizing that resources in the land only go so far. And giving the land time to replenish those resources matters. It's a year of conservation and preservation. Can you imagine taking a whole year to tell the land, you've done so much in the last 6 years. Take this seventh year off. We have enough canning to go around. And thank you for all you've done. Can you imagine? Obviously, we're not Jewish, so we won't observe the Shemitah year. We're not expected to. The next one is in 2021, by the way. But what would it look like to take this kind of Sabbath for forgiveness, a Sabbath for letting go of monetary and emotional debts, a Sabbath for making sure we do the best we can with what we've been given so that we can, as I said earlier, focus less on what we need and more on why we are needed? Being followers of Jesus means really engaging in this shift of focus from what we need to why we are needed. Pastor and seminary professor Claudio Carvalho has wrote that it is an act of worship to recognize that the command to love God and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves is deeply connected to this economic and ecological land in which we live. We live in a society that celebrates the consumer, not that it is bad to buy things for ourselves. The Bible tells us it's the love of money that gets us into trouble, not money itself. But how does faith challenge us to live more sustainably, sharing resources more equitably? Do you know where your food comes from? Do you know who made the shirt that you're wearing today? It's a challenging message. And it's a challenging message for us here at Faith because so much of what we do already feels like we're living into this Shemitah year every day. Our garden produces produce that goes other places, that helps people. Every single one of our fundraisers, none of the money stays here. All of that fundraising goes to mission, goes somewhere else to help people. The presbytery even gave us a certificate to celebrate how we are for 21 years, a 4-for-4 church, giving to the special offerings that help people in need. We collect clothes for Closet of Hope. Our youth do work camp every summer. Our church provides resources for East Penn Neighbors Helping Neighbors. And we do all of this as a community. Community is a key part of the Shemitah year. And when you look at the resume of the mission projects, when you look at the resume of all of the things that we do here at Faith Presbyterian Church, I can hear you. I can hear this question, Pastor, what more do you want from us? Here's what I want. I want us to be inspirers. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God. When we come to this table and celebrate communion together, we celebrate the gifts that God gives us. We celebrate all of the blessings that Jesus gives us and the command that Jesus gives us to remember him. We also remember that this table is so much bigger than what we can possibly fit here at Faith Presbyterian Church. This table celebrates our brothers and sisters who follow Jesus all over the world. And we remember that we are connectional, which means when we talk about the community living well and loving hard, we're talking about a much larger community that is so much bigger than just Emmaus. How can we be the inspirers for others to live well and love hard? How can we let our light shine so that others can see, be inspired, be challenged, and glorify God in what they say and in what they do? At Presbytery gatherings, they had a practice of what was called a cup of blessing. During the cup of kindness, cup of blessing time, people from different churches would get up during the meeting and share some of the amazing projects they were doing, whether it was running a radio station or hosting people who were hiking the Appalachian trails. When I went to Pittsburgh in June, one of the fellowship events had a kind of speed dating thing that they did, where we were invited to get up in front of a microphone and take 1 minute to talk about a mission that our church was doing, things that we were celebrating, or a question that we wanted someone else to come and talk to us about. So I got up and talked about our acts of simple grace, how we keep money on tab at the coffee shop so that baristas can give someone a cup of coffee on us. I talked about how we gave away gift cards at the East Penn Diner for people who needed a meal. And I talked about how we give away free hot dogs at our yard sale. It's simple grace. We see how Jesus blesses us, and we trust Jesus to provide, even when the budget season makes us nervous. It's up to us to share that good news with others in whatever way we can figure out how to do that. Our community can inspire other communities. We can let our light shine so that they can be inspired and challenged. And we do this not with the hope that our community will grow with more cheeks in the seats, but in the hope that we're doing exactly what Jesus calls us to do. Loving God, loving neighbor as we love ourselves, encouraging the larger community to do the same. Now, I don't know if there's a cure for my book addiction, and I'm not sure I'm looking for one, to be honest. But I do find myself having what Barbara Brown Taylor calls a holy envy for the Shemitah, the Sabbath year. She defines holy envy as being the thing that lets our attraction to other teachings transform the love we have for our own teachings. I find myself craving that kind of headspace to collect a Sabbath from something else, especially a Sabbath from thinking that we need more. Consider the lilies of the field, Jesus said once. They don't work, and God takes care of them. Consider the birds of the air, Jesus said. Aren't you more important than that? You have enough. You are enough. I'd like to challenge us to let the Sabbath year work on the love that we have for Jesus and the excitement that we have for all of the things that Jesus is doing in and through us, to celebrate the things that we do as a community and to let that inspire others. Maybe today the message that you needed to hear is that you have enough, that we have enough, and in some cases, maybe you do enough. As the passage in Deuteronomy said, there will always be people who have need. We can only do what we can do, and we can't do all the things, but we can do our best, and we can inspire others to do the same. May that inspire us to let our light shine before others, not so that they celebrate us, but so that it directs them to celebrate God. Let your light shine. Tell the good news. Share your joy. It's contagious. Others will feel that joy. Amen.